Hey guys, welcome into the HTTR Redskins Talk. I'm Kyle Horn. I am starting this podcast. I'm going to be talking everything Redskins. Of course, you can probably tell I am a Redskins fan. I will be doing this podcast about the Redskins, everything and everything you need to know about the Redskins. I'll be doing like game day little talks, 15 minutes before the game, and then a game day review, of course, but that is on down the road because this is May 19th. And today I'm going to be talking about the Washington Redskins NFL draft. Yes, this was a few weeks ago. Yes, this is a little outdated, but I was not able to get this podcast up or do this podcast because I've not had the equipment. And I'm just now getting the equipment and everything. So I'm now able to start the podcast. And I'm now going to be starting off with the draft. Here, as soon as we finish this draft, which I should plan on finishing this draft, this episode, we will go straight into position outlooks. I'll do an episode on safety. I'll do an episode on cornerback. I'll do an episode on linebacker, outside linebacker, all that, including rookies, undrafted free agents we signed this year. All of that will be done in the next few episodes. We're going to knock the draft out here in this episode. So, without further ado, let's get into the draft episode. Alright, so, well, I'm going to start from the back. But first, I'm going to name all the players the Redskins got. So, we're going to go to round one. Of course, pick number 15. The picks that we all were, in my opinion, were hoping for. Dwayne Haskins, quarterback, Ohio State. And then, with the Then our next pick, not a second round pick. I was sitting on my couch and I was just sitting here watching the rest of the draft, see how it play out, and trying to figure out which direction could we go day two. What could we go round two with? Who could we go with round two? I was thinking N'Keal Harry, who at the point before the Redskins traded up was there, and then all of a sudden I'm checking my phone, just looking at. Stuff that people are saying about Haskins, and I see the Redskins are on the clock, and I knew this was a good move, but there's multiple people that I saw could go here. I was thinking DK, which he fell tremendously more than I thought he would. I was thinking DK. I was of course thinking Montez. I was thinking a guard. Juwan Taylor was still available at that point, so then that's what I was thinking, but we ended up going with Montez Sweat. It was pick number 26. We traded the Colts to get back in there. Then we waited till day two. We had to wait till the third round. I thought we could possibly trade up. We didn't. We had two third round picks, but we ended up trading that second one back for two fourths because we did not have a fourth. With the first one, or with our third round pick, we got Terry McLaurin, Ohio State receiver. Fourth, our first fourth round pick, we got Bryce Love out of Stanford, running back. And then our second fourth round pick, we got guard of West Martin out of Indiana. Then our first fifth round, we got Ross. I'm going to probably murder this name. Pearson Baker. Probably not right, but well. Ross Pearson Baker. He's a center out of Alabama. Then our next pick, it was our fifth round pick, I believe. Hold up. He was a sixth-round pick. So I believe he was our sixth-round pick. Oh, no, round five, pick 35. I knew we had two fifth-round picks, and I always got it mixed up. We had two fifth or two sixth, and we had two fifths. So we got Cole Holcomb, linebacker out of North Carolina. I think it's interesting that we cut Zach Brown, a linebacker, out of North Carolina, and then we pick up Cole Holcomb, another linebacker out of North Carolina. Then we picked up in the sixth round, we got the steal of at least the day three, Calvin Harmon. I love this pick. I'll get into more of that later. And then in the seventh round, we got a local guy, Jimmy Moreland. And then our last pick, second to last pick of the draft, we got Jordan Brailford, Oklahoma State. And that's where I'm going to start off. I'm going to talk about Jordan Brailford, a guy I really was not too high on originally. But as I've seen him, as I've learned more about him, it's a pick I like. He led the Big 12 in sacks. That is a great stat, and he was picked in the second to last pick. A great stat and picked in second round, last round pick. He's got some speed. He's a 4.65. He's probably going to be sliding in right there on the outside linebacker, probably playing behind Kerrigan, because that's kind of a battle. Whoever's going to be Kerrigan's backup, we got Marquise Flowers, I believe. That is a position open. That is up. That is going to be a good position battle to keep an eye on through the preseason. He had a 22 reps in the bench press, a 37.5, inch vertical. And this is, I just like this pick. It's a good pick. I think it's a good steal. It's the 39th pick of the 7th round. And he's going to have to develop. He's going to have to battle for his position on the line. I think this will be a, last year we saw all of our drafts make the 53-man roster. This year, I think we could see something where some guys might not. Some guys might just be ended up making the practice squad that we drafted. It's possible. And that's football for you. He's off the snap quick. He's got a good first three steps. He's gonna pound. I remember in rookie minicamp. Once again, this is way after the draft, so rookie minicamp has already happened. He has blown up some of these offensive linemen. He has come off with a good first couple steps and just pounded the offensive linemen. And it wasn't even with pads, so he's kind of trying to, and he wasn't even really trying too hard, it seemed. He's a little undersized. That's why he's listed as a DN in some cases, because he's undersized. But I think he'll end up being an edge. They'll probably try to get him to gain some weight, whether it be through muscle or a little bit of food weight. He plays fast, but he's not really controlled. He's just an overall solid player. But he's going to have to work his way onto this roster. NFL Network, this is what I use NFL Network a lot. They give him a 5.48 prospect grade, which is not bad, because I've seen some round 3, round 4, even a late round 2 guys that are in that range. They might be at a low 6, high 5, and he's about mid 5. So he's not too far off. So to get this in the late 7th round is a pretty good pick. So now we're going to move on to Jimmy Moreland. JMU, I love this pick. A ball hawk. 18 picks. 18 picks, and 6 of those were pick 6s. That is a wonderful stat. Now, you are going to say, oh, he's in a smaller conference, a smaller division. That is not going to translate as much. But I think if you're a ball hawk anywhere, you're going to be a ball hawk in the NFL. I think he'll have, I'm going to make a bold prediction, he'll have 2 to 3 interceptions just in the preseason. He is a ball hawk. I absolutely love this kid. But it's a position that we have, it's going to be another position battle. You got Greg Stroman, Danny Johnson. Those two guys played in roles last year when Quentin Dunbar went down. I think Jimmy Moreland will have a chance to make us the roster spot next to Greg Stroman, next to Danny Johnson. He will have a chance to make a roster spot. And I like this player. And I'm just ready to see him and see if he can get some of those picks that he got in college. He's a 5'10", 179, so it's a little small. Nothing that stands out on the charts right there. That's a 29.58 wingspan. We got him in the 13th pick. He's got a lower grade than Brailford. Brailford had a 5.48. He's got a 5.29, which is a pretty or lower. He didn't go to the combine, he doesn't have a combine results. It's just he's such a ball hawk. He's a good playmaker. 39-inch vertical, at a pro day, that is a good vertical. That's what makes him good. And he's good to read routes and go for him. He trusts his eyes. Like I said, his weakness is he's small. Probably not the greatest off-man guy, not the greatest zone guy. Probably a man-to-man guy you're going to see on the outside. kind of laying back or up in the face of the defender and ready to jump the route if he sees a chance. It's just he's right up there, so if he's right up in the face with the NFL receivers, he could easily be burned like that. But it's just how it's going to be. He's going to have to learn from those mistakes. He could struggle as a tackle. He could struggle tackling. Which would hurt in run support, so that might decrease his playing time or chance to make a roster spot over a guy like a Greg Stroman, a Danny Johnson, who I did not see. Danny Johnson, I did not see a lot of good tackling out of him, but we'll get into that other episodes. Like I said, we'll go through positions, corner, and we'll go more in depth about Danny Johnson. Now we're going to move on to the sixth round, Kelvin Harmon. I absolutely love this pick. He has a low prospect grade. He was projected to go in the third to fourth rounds. So even I've seen some where he goes to the second. And he should have a higher grade. Or he should have gone higher. But I think this is the great reason he fell was because of this grade. He's a huge receiver. He reminds me of Calvin Benjamin. Same name. Calvin Harmon, Calvin Benjamin. Reminds me of the same type person. Except Calvin Benjamin didn't work out too well. But we will see about Calvin Harmon. Out of NC State, he's a 6'2", 221, 32.5 wingspan. We got him as the 34th pick. He had a 4'6 combine or 4'6 40, which isn't bad. 18 reps on the bench press, 32.5 vertical jump, which is pretty good. His combine stats aren't bad. Probably just lacks probably initial speed. He lacks initial speed, so it's going to be hard for him to get off the line and able to create that separation, especially on small routes or short routes. Possession catches. He's not going to be able to get off the ball and get a possession catch as well. But he will develop, and I believe he will be, if not Josh Doctson's successor this year, he will be next year because, of course, the Redskins did not pick up his fifth-year option. I believe that he will be coming for Josh Doctson's job, and it might even increase Josh Doctson's level of play. I compare him to Mohamed Sanu, a big guy that plays the slot. I don't see him going in the slot. I see Trey Quinn kind of staying at that slot position. He might be able to move to slot if needed. If of course, to injuries. He can find space and open zones. He's just a huge guy. A safety blanket at NC State. He's aggressive. He's a good ball tracker. Quickness is average. I'm looking at these weaknesses here that I have written down. His foot quickness is average. Struggles to accelerate. Release is bad, not as great. So it's just a lot of these weaknesses are speed. And he's got size and he's got strength, but he has to put that together with speed. And he doesn't quite have that. So that's what he's going to have to work on coming on the NFL. And I think this year, I think he could see a lot of playing time this year, and he could be a good impact player for the Washington Redskins. Now we're going to move on to Cole Holcomb. 5.36 was his prospect grade. He's a linebacker at North Carolina. I'm getting a little sidetracked here because I was thinking, remember what I was saying about the prospect grades, how Brailford has a high grade. He's a 5.48. All these picks that I've gone through, Moreland has a 5.29. Harmon has a 5.5. He's the only one higher than Brailford, and Brailford went in the seventh round. Harmon was projected to go third, fourth round, and ended up going in the sixth round. I'm telling you, Redskins, they went after experienced guys that know what they're doing. Highly rated guys. Kyle Smith did a great job on all this. But anyways, back to Cole Holcomb at North Carolina. He's a senior. He's 6'1", 231, 31 3/8 wingspan. He's with the 35th pick in the 5th round. Excuse me. And he does not have a combine results. He's a great player. He's speedy. He can get the run down. I think he will be eventually ended up playing into a Josh, or not a Josh Hosley role, but a Zach Brown role that Zach Brown had last year because of circumstances, where he'll come in on run expecting plays and come in and try to diagnose the run and get that run tackled quick. He's early play, like I said, early play recognition. That's why he would be good for the run game. He sees the run and he goes after it. Screen game. That will all be helpful. He was projected probably around where Brailford and Moreland went, but he had a good pro day and raised his grade and his draft. Excuse me, I can't even think of what I'm saying. Raised his draft stock. He's aggressive, or he's not as aggressive as he would like to be. He's not the greatest in coverage. Balance needs to work on. I mean, I think he's definitely not going to be a guy you're going to see starting. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a Sean Dion Hamilton type player, or what we were supposed to have Sean Dion Hamilton, of course, because of the circumstances last year. Sean Dion Hamilton took over and actually ended up playing quite well. But he's going to be a guy, you'll definitely see him on special teams, I think. If he makes the roster, stays healthy, you'll see him on special teams. Because, like I said, he can diagnose plays, he can get downfield quickly. And so that's what you're going to need on special teams. So I see him as a special team. I could even see him down the road being a special teams captain. He's going to be a good special teams player. I don't see him. A couple people have told me he could possibly end up being a starter. He could even be like a Pro Bowler. I've heard people tell me that. I don't see that out of him. Maybe a Pro Bowler as a special teamer, sure, but I don't see anything more as a special teams captain out of him. But other than that, I like to pick. It's a depth of position. Because of course we cut Zach Brown. It's going to be just a depth play. He's got experience. He's got leadership. Something we could use. So, but we're going to move on here to the first 5th round pick we had is pick 15. It's Ross Pearson-Baker. Once again, I do not know if I said his name right, but it is an Alabama guy, a guy we needed. It's just depth at the offensive line. You saw what happened last year. I mean, it's another guy that can come in, play center, play guard. He had 42 straight starts, I believe, at Alabama. I think his first year he played center, and then he moved to left guard. Also could play right guard. He's a very reliable player. Has been to the national championship four times. He's a senior. He won twice and lost twice. That is, just think about all that experience against the best of the best. He went up against Clemson guys like Dexter Lawrence, guys that are in the NFL making big differences. He went up and blocked those guys. That's something that you should keep an eye on. He had a 5.33 grade. He's a 6'4", 307, big guy, 32 1/8 arms. Now, he's got a 5.2 40, which isn't terrible for an offensive line for his size. He's got a 20 reps of bench press, which is a little low. You'd probably like to see that a little higher. He's a 22.5 vertical, which it's probably about right for him. His stats were just amazing. He's so reliable. He's a captain. Redskins went off of guys that are reliable, that have proven they can play at the next level, who have proven they've leadership skills. They're going to players that you don't really want to have to take time to develop. They're young, reckless. They're going straight into wisdom and straight into going into, like, hey, this guy could instantly make an impact. And I see this could be a great or a huge position battle for left guard. He could also be, I know he's classified as a center, but he started at left guard many times. And he could be a guy that you see in the position battle for left guard. I think Wes Martin, of course, we're about to get ready to talk about Eric Flowers and Ross could be the left guard position battle. And it could be a good battle. He's a good size. He's quickest off the snap. I'm just looking at his strengths I have here. His weaknesses, leverage. He needs to work on that. Protect on the edges as a pro. Strength, like I said, the 20 reps on the bench press could improve, so he's gonna have to work on his strength here. He's got to work on his anchoring, resetting his hand. He is a big dude. He just needs to be in the way. I think he would be. I think he's just gonna be a depth guy. We chase Royer's backup. Now, the offensive line is a way. I'm ready to discuss the offensive line in the position discussions because I'm just so. I love what the Redskins have done, bringing in depth guys, bringing in guys, remaking this offensive line, and knowing what happened the last 2 years. Let's bring in guys that where we have a second offensive lineman or a whole offensive line that's whole second string offensive line we know can all like be starters in the NFL. And that's why they went with Ross, and then that's also why they went with Wes. So I'm gonna move on to Wes. Wes Martin, I think in my prediction, he will be the starter coming into the week one against the Cowboys. He's 6'3", 311, 32, 34, so wingspan. Out of Indiana, he's a team captain again. The team captain. He's got a 5.48, same grade as Jordan Bradford. Well, it's probably why he fell a little bit. But this is a pick I'm high on. He doesn't have any combine results. But he's just an experienced player. And look, NFL Network has his NFL comparison. As somebody familiar, we know Sean Laval. Sean Laval, of course, was our starter for 2 years. He got hurt last year. And he had a good season going last year until he got hurt. And I think he will be like a Sean Laval, maybe a little better, a younger. I think he's coming in with the same type of talent Sean Laval has now. And he's young, so he'll develop into something better than Sean Laval. He's a 3 year starter, 2-time team captain. He's got the brains, 38 bench reps. That is a good number. He's got the strength that Ross does not have. This is a really good number. He's a big guy, shuffles his feet well, strong grip, accelerates pretty well. His weaknesses, duck head drives. He's a better, more, not the greatest on pass protection, much better on run protection or run blocking. And but that can be a plus. That's why he's gonna come in and battle for the position. Hey, do we think we have enough pass protection where we can have a little bit of pass protection weakness here on left guard? Or are we gonna use Eric Flowers, who we think is gonna be a kind of a balanced mix of that? So we don't know. I do think he'll be the starter week one. He'll be trotting out week one. He has issues against longer punch and pull rushers. I don't think there will be too many longer rushers when from the left guard position he will see, unless it's an edge guy coming inside, which is also possible. But I really like this pick and probably one of my favorite picks of this draft. Now we're gonna move on to Bryce Love. This pick shocked me, or it didn't shock me, but I was surprised by it. I expected us to take a running back, a guy to, because it's just at the depth of position, a guy to maybe be an Adrian Peterson successor after these 2 years. I was shocked it was taken so early. But if it's going to be a guy, I like this. He's a smart dude. He knows how to play. He's 5'9", 229.38. He's probably going to be a PUP guy. He's got a 5.53 or 5.53 grade. He's not gonna have any combine results as far as running. He's got 18 bench press because he tore the ACL, so that's why I think he'll be PUP. But he possibly could be a guy that we see as Chris Thompson's successor if he works on his hands and catching. But this guy is a kid, if he would have went in last year, we would be talking about him on a higher team. We could talk. We saw Sonny Michel go to the Patriots last year in the end of the first round. We'd be talking about Bryce Love being on the Patriots last year because that's how good he was. If he would have gone in last year, he could have gone first, second, third round, anywhere in that range. I think this year he was projected a little lower because of the injury and lack of production this year because of the injury. I think if he can recover fully, which of course, or according to reports, he is recovering fine and him and guys should be good to go, good back up to normal as soon as possible. He's explosive. Character, great character. Of course, Darius Grice didn't have that, but we see how that worked out. He's fast. He's a fast dude. He's just he's not bad at pass catching. He just didn't really use that, or he didn't really get that. His weaknesses are his hands, definitely. Field vision, lack size. Of course, the injury, that's a big weakness. Because you always wonder if he can come back to full potential. But on all in all, I like this pick. I like this. I don't think we'll see much of him this year. I think he'll be more of a Chris Thompson successor. And we will see, I believe we will see him 2020 as a Chris Thompson third down back type guy. Now we're going to move on into the third round. This pick did not shock me. I thought it was really cool. I wanted Paris Campbell because I wanted to team up another Ohio State, and then I totally forgot. Terry McLaurin totally slipped my mind. This guy is a baller. He is a redshirt senior out of Indianapolis. Of course, went to Ohio State, a wide receiver, 5'6", 1 grade. That's a pretty good grade. Here, let me pull up his grade compared to other wide receivers here. Get this up here. A 5'6", 1 that's really close to a Marquise Brown type guy. It's not too far off. Here we go. Alright, gotta pull that up. DK Metcalf had the highest with a 6.25. And then you scroll down, he's about, where is he? There is, right behind Anthony Johnson, who did not go drafted, so that it's not a great sign. But he's about mid-pack. I think he's better than a lot of these players here. I think he's going to be ended up being their fourth receiver off of the field, and he possibly could play in the slot. I don't really think that's where I want him to play. In my opinion, I'd rather have him play in the outside as a Paul Richardson type guy. I think he'll be coming off the bench for a Paul Richardson. But let's go back here. His strengths are, hold on, let me get to his combine results. Combine 4.35. He's a fast dude. A fast dude. Very fast dude. And he's 6 foot, 208, 31.5 wingspan. He's picked with the 13th pick. His strengths are size and speed, of course. Finds open spaces. Excuse me. Builds up speed but lacks early acceleration. Same thing with Kelvin Harmon. He doesn't have long strides because he's a little short or a little smaller. He has the willingness to block, but of course, because of size, it's just not, you know, he's not going to be the greatest blocker. He is a good blocker, or he will block, and but I see him more for like a jet sweep. That's like what Crowder would take. I see him as a guy that would take the jet sweep rather than being blocking for that jet sweep. But you never know, and I see Harmon being the lead blocker, wide receiver, and Doxon, guys like that. If they're both on the field, you know it's a kind of like a jet sweep or a run. I don't see both of them being on the field, but enough about them. We're going to move on to Montez Sweat, a pick I love. He is so fast, 6.34. That's a 15 or 6 overall grade. That is a out of Mississippi State edge rusher, redshirt senior. He's 6'6", 260, 35 3/4 wingspan. Now with that size, you're thinking, oh, he's not going to be that fast. But he ran a 4.41, faster than Odell. 21 reps. That's a little small. Probably would have liked him to be in the 25 to 30 range, but I have to work on that strength, vertical jump. That's just an athletic freak for an edge rusher. We got him with the 26th pick. Of course, we traded up with the Colts. Just a fast dude, and will probably be jogging out there to start day one. Strengths, he should continue to get bigger, a longer frame. Creates leverage. Separate from blocker, speed, of course, his speed, his length. Those are all strengths for him. Weaknesses, he needs faster hands. Not like I said, the bench press is a little smaller, so his power is not quite there. He needs to upgrade that power. His balance, after been hitting off balance, he can't really quite get back to balance, so that's something you have to work on. But other than that, he's just a great pick. I think it'll be a scary defensive line. But we will go into that more with the position discussion. So now we're going to move on to Dwayne Haskins. A guy that I think will not be the starter week one. I think we could see him out there week one. I don't think he should be out there week one. I think we should see. I don't care if you go 0-5. Case Keenum needs to be out there because this kid is going to need time to develop. He is 6'3", 231. He's a big dude, 33.5 wingspan. He got him with the 15th pick, of course. He's got a 6.2 prospect grade. That is number 2 in the quarterbacks, of course, behind Kyler Murray. And then he's number 15 overall, so that's not a bad grade for him. excuse me. He ran a 5.04 bench press, 40-yard dash. He didn't do the bench press. He had a 28.5 vertical jump. Now you're looking at that number, and you're like, well, that's slow. He's gonna get sacked all the time, or he won't be able to get away. That 5.04 is all he needs. He's a pocket passer. He's gonna move when he has to. He will have enough speed to kind of just get out of there and get out of pressure and able to find a throw or throw it away. He has enough speed to do that. His strengths, he's just a strong dude. He can put it in tight windows, big arm. He's got a great throwing motion. Ball explodes out of his hands, has a deep ball arm. Maybe work a little bit on the accuracy. His weaknesses, he is definitely aggressive, which you want, but sometimes it can get you out. Like I said, baited into bad decisions. Can't really, he'll lose control of the ball sometimes. So when he works on his hands a little bit, he's of course got the chip on his shoulder, but that is definitely a weakness. He's fumbles due to carelessness. But this dude's going to have to develop. He's going to need time to develop. He's got to work on reading the defense quicker than he did at Ohio State. And this is something that's going to take time. And I think Redskins fans might be frustrated with it. But I think he's not going to be able to ready to come on out in week one. I think Case Keenum or Colt McCoy will be jogging out there week one with the starters, and it might not be the move. We might go 7-9 team again, but if that's what it takes, you saw how it worked out for Patrick Mahomes. Even Baker Mayfield, he didn't start till halfway. But I mean, that's just how it's gonna have to work. It's just how the day and age is gonna have to develop, and then he'll be in there next year. But this does kind of take some stress off the Redskins fans. Like, hey, what the heck? We've just been trading for old dudes, but we finally got the the franchise quarterback I think he will be if he's developed right. But that is the draft review. I'm going to go through all these picks. I'm going to give a draft grade tomorrow or next podcast. Now, you know what? I'm actually going to do that now. Just kinda, let's see what time we're at. We're at 35 minutes. So I think I'm going to go ahead and we'll give us just 10 minutes to grade these picks. So we're going to start going with Dwayne Haskins. I grade this pick at a B plus. Or an A. I'm going to give this an A minus. B plus, A minus. Because we didn't go and chase after him. He fell right to us. If we went and chased after him, I might not like this pick. But we didn't chase after him. We didn't use our leverage to go get him. We used what we had, and he fell right into us. So I'm giving this an A minus B plus. Now, Montez Sweat, I'm going to give an A. Because I love how we went and got a guy we need. We got a quarterback and a edge rusher in the first round. We went and did what we needed to do. So I'm going to give that an A for that pick. And then Terry McLaurin, I'm going to give this a B plus because we're going and getting Haskins, one of his weapons. And see, he's already got chemistry with Terry. I don't think he'll start. Once again, I don't think he'll start. I don't think Haskins will start, so this chemistry is not going to really matter, but still it's something I think will help him be able to get ready for the NFL is having one of his guys there with him. Now, then Bryce Love, I'm giving that pick a B. I like the pick. I think this is more of a 2020 pick, a future pick, and I don't see how this is definitely my least. None of these picks I hate. This is my least favorite probably pick of the draft, but it is still a good pick. I'm going to give it a B. And then with Wes, I'm giving this pick an A minus. You might say, why an A minus and Bryce a B? I think an A minus because this guy is going to be, it reminds me of a Chase Roy Eric type thing. We got a guard, a reliable guard, or a reliable center in the late rounds, and look at Chase's men. He was one of the most reliable, best centers of the league last year. He was reliable, and I think this is a similar type thing. And same with Ross. I just don't think Ross will be a starter. That's why I'm going to give Ross a B+, because I don't see him being a starter. I don't see him coming right into play. I see he's just being a depth, like a Tony Bergstrom type guy that can come in and play guard or center if need be. Then Cole Holcomb, I'm going to give this a B as well. Him and Bryce Love are my least favorite picks of this draft. I think this is just nothing but a special teams play. I think it's similar to Zach Brown. I think we won't ever be a starter. I think he'll just be a guy rotating in, coming to stop the run on plays where you need a stop. He'll probably come in for a run stop. Then I'm going to move on to Calvin Harmon. I'm going to give him this pick an A- because he fell right to us, and the Redskins at that point were playing it smart and said, hey, need is not a problem right now. We could have gone a safety here or something like that. They said best player available is Calvin Harmon. Let's go pick him. And I like that about that, and I think he was a third to fourth round talent that we found in the sixth round. That's why I'm giving that an A minus. Jimmy Moreland, I'm going to give a B plus because he's an absolute ball hawk. He'll be great. He'll come in and give a great competition for the cornerback room. Great leadership, ball hawking skills. It's just a good pick for the seventh round. He was projected fit the sixth round, and we're able to get him in the seventh round. A lot of guys that fell. So, it's the sixth round for NFL Network projection. And then Jordan Brailsford, I'm going to give this a B+. I like this pick. A guy that led the Big 12 in sacks and goes with the second last pick. I like this pick. Excuse me. That's what I really like about that pick is because he's proven at a high level, and the Redskins went out and got him with a late pick, and I like that about him. So that's why I'm going to give that a B. Overall, I give this draft an A-. It is a great draft. One of my favorite drafts over the last couple of years. Things that we could have addressed, probably a safety. A lot of people were saying we could have used a tight end, a guy to block. But I like tight end position. We'll get in that with position discussion. But I like our tight end. But I think they see something there where they don't need to go get a tight end. And safety, of course, with Monte's charges being dropped, he will most likely be the safety. So maybe the Redskins knew something we didn't, and we're not going to draft the safety when Monte was coming back. So, but we'll also get more into depth with that, with position battles. But I think that's the end of the first podcast. I thank you for listening. And I'm going to sign out. Kyle Horn, signing out. HTCR, Redskins Talk.